Chapter 15. Lost Causes. Magna Macrag Civitas Memorial Gardens. Varkir had called them gardens, but Numeon saw no beauty in them. Between the demons fought in the bowels of the Eastern Keep and the empty memorial vault meant to contain his father, he had seen precious little beauty anywhere on Macrag. Instead, he saw granite and cold marble across a bleak expanse of dark turf, threaded with black orchids and pale lilies. Inner peace was a stranger to this auditorium of grief and pain. Tombs and mausoleums stretched in every direction. Great statues loomed, forever clad in funerary armor, held fast in their finest moments of fading glory. A cold wind blew through this place of the dead, disturbing stone-clad trenches of dank water. It numbed Numeon's soul and stabbed his heart with ice.
"I am a wraith," he murmured to the other revenants, "standing alone in your long shadows."
"Bleak words for bleak environs," uttered a deep, sibilant voice.
Numeon drew his sword. "Who goes there?" he demanded, recalling Thiel's words about doppelgangers and renegades abroad in the Civitas.
A tall, powerful figure emerged from the darkness, as grim and forbidding in his black armor as any chiseled memorial statue. It could be none other.
"I am Lion L. Johnson.
I know who you are,"
Numeon replied, lowering his sword.
"The Lion, Primarch of the Dark Angels."
Hooded eyes regarded Numeon, framed by a mane of long blonde hair. The Primarch towered over the salamander, his mood and his manner inscrutable. He proffered his gauntleted hand.
"Consider this a formal introduction, then," said the Lion. "I wanted to speak to the Legion Master of the Salamanders alone. I have no claim to that title. Yours is the only claim, Captain."
"Then I do not wish for it.
What is it you want from me, Lord?"
The Lion lowered his hand, his face unreadable.
"Just your ear," he said, stepping back towards the shadows.
A huge wing-hilted blade hung across his back, mercifully undrawn.
"You have it," said Numeon, somewhat wary. "You disagree with the policies here on Macrag, do you, Numeon?"
"I have no mind for them right now. I came here to be alone."
"With your grief, your anger?"
"Both, either. What does it matter to the Lord of the Dark Angels?"
"I am just intrigued. Confronted by a legionary who aches to return to his world, I wonder, Numeon, what is that feeling like?"
"Desperate? Asphyxiating? Is that what you expected?"
"It isn't," admitted the Lion. "Is it merely the pull of Nocturne, or does something else compel you?"
"Am I pushed from Macrag? Is that what you're asking?"
The Lion paused to consider his answer.
"Not exactly that. Not Macrag."
"Then you mean Lord Gilliman's ideal?"
The Lion said nothing, but Numeon felt himself under sudden scrutiny. The salamander narrowed his eyes.
"You don't agree with it?"
Again the Lion kept his own counsel.
"I don't wish to become a political pawn in whatever is happening here. I have even less tolerance for it than Sergeant Thiel."
"Many feel as you do," the Primarch uttered finally. "Some say we were too quick to give up on Terra. I believe you are someone who does not give up on lost causes easily either. Our lost causes are sometimes all we have to strive for."
Numeon gave a short, bitter laugh.
"Look around us, my lord. We are amongst graves. Do you think I came here because my faith in lost causes is strong?"
The Lion shook his head, saying, "I meant no disrespect,
but be mindful of who you are speaking to."
There was warning in his tone, exacerbated by the mail and plate he wore, and the great sword strapped to his back. Deeper shadows abided within the furred cloak arrayed about his shoulders, suggesting the lion's enigmatic and capricious nature. For the first time since the conversation began, Numeon had reason to be concerned.
"I came here to mourn," he said, contrite, "for peace."
Bowing, the lion answered,
"Then I shall trouble you no further. But remember what I said, Numeon. None of us will give up on our causes."
"And what of Caliban, then?"
A slight tremor of unease crossed the lion's face, so quick and so subtle it could almost have been Numeon's imagination. Almost.
"Mourn for my brother Vulcan, as I shall," said the Primarch, retreating into shadow and the deeper groves of the gardens. "But don't expect to find peace."
He sounded bitter, but before Numeon could ask why, the lion turned and his long cloak swept around in his wake. Then he was gone, lost to the dark. Numeon stood alone for a few moments. He hadn't realized how fast his heart was beating. The encounter with the lion was both unexpected and disturbing. He found himself wondering at the Dark Angel's agenda. His words rang true.
"Our lost causes," Numeon realized, "are sometimes all we have to strive for."
His purpose here returned to him, his grief and anguish also. After so long in denial, he had finally come to accept the irrefutable. Vulcan was gone. His father had not escaped his casket to walk amongst the living again. His form had dissipated back into the ash of its creation. Even his murderer had inexplicably slipped his shackles, and despite all the assurances he had heard secondhand from Gilliman, Numeon held little hope Barthusa Narek would be apprehended. With Sanguinius and the lion by his side, despite his curious misgivings, the Lord of Macragge was more concerned with building his war machine, his legacy, and the Ultramar Second Front than he was about errant traitors, even ones as high profile as the Vigilator. No hope, no vengeance.
"I have been denied everything," he hissed bitterly.
Perhaps he should seek out the lion and speak with him further. For now, he was ill prepared for such a conversation. He needed time. Stepping through an ivy-strangled arch, Numeon found himself upon a stairway of black basalt leading up to a stone plateau at its summit. In the middle of the plateau was a memorial stone. Here were etched the names of those who had died on Istvan V. There were many gaps, many names yet to be spoken, many of the dead still to be confirmed. Another monument rose above this first memorial, a golden and glorious statue of Ferus Manus, Primarch of the Iron Hands. Carven in a belligerent aspect, he clenched a massive hammer in his outstretched hand and held it aloft as if to challenge the heavens. Rendered in agonizing exactness, his warplate almost transcended stone in its verisimilitude. The artisan had sculpted severe features for the Gorgon, an unyielding, defiant expression that dared all who looked upon it not to feel humbled even by his simulacrum. Dead eyes, blank of the Primarch's infamous temper, stared down upon Numeon. It was a bleak epitaph, he decided, ill-fitting of such a formidable being. But how else could the dead be remembered other than by having their essence trapped in stone? Ferus Manus would have raged at such poor treatment.
Numeon laughed grimly, imagining it. Then he looked beyond the statue, further into the memorial gardens. Here the foliage gave way entirely to dark marble. No tree or leaf grew in this lightless quarter, only skull-wreathed columns that had erupted from the ground like tumors. Lesser statues rose between them, some in repose upon their tombs, others standing proudly, their bodies interred in the earth below. As Numeon left the statue, descending from the plateau to walk between the structures of dark marble, his grief found him. Falling to one knee as if struck, he wept for his slain father. None would see it, for he was alone in his misery. In his mind's eye, a great pyre burned. Upon it was Vulcan, returned to the flame at last. "Embers," hissed Numeon, finding his composure, but still bent on one knee, his head bowed in sufferance. "That is all we are, and all we can become in the end." Finding enough resolve to raise his head, he noticed one of the statues regarding him from the shadows. Sitting sternly on a marble throne set upon a shallow plinth, the statue struck Numeon as familiar. He got to his feet, eyes straining against the darkness, but the statue was too far away to discern in detail. As Numeon approached it, his armored boots rang loudly against the marble, but he did not hear them. His every sense was transfixed upon the enthroned figure. As he drew nearer, he noticed something clenched against its chest, and then he saw what was also jutting from it. Numeon's tongue was stolen away, his eyes widening, his mouth trying to form words, but failing. He managed one, just before he sank to his knees again.
"Father!"